Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I wanted to talk about hay fever and allergies because I know that people around me, I've also felt it more than in the past. And we wanted to understand about what happens. What is hay fever? Is it hitting us harder? Are we imagining it or not? Or are we just really becoming a whole bunch of hypochondriacs? Well, not becoming. I've always been, so I've owned that. But you lot may be becoming a hypochondriac. Joining us now is Professor André van Niekerk, pulmonologist, pediatrician, former chairman of the Allergy Society of South Africa. Professor, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your time. Are people actually experiencing hay fever symptoms more acutely? Is it lasting longer? Or are we just becoming a whole bunch of hypochondriacs?
No, I don't think we're becoming a bunch of hypochondriacs. You know, hay fever, as you've said already, is an allergic reaction. And in medicine, we refer to it as a hypersensitivity reaction. And this is specifically where you've got nasal symptoms related to an immune reaction happening in the lining of your nose. And that's the result of you being hypersensitive or being sensitized to something usually that we inhale, something like pollen, for example. And it's actually the most common form of allergy in the world. Some areas of the world, up to 40% of people suffer from allergic rhinitis, and hay fever is a form of allergic rhinitis. So it's extremely common. It's not uncommon. And you know, we've been worried for many years now that allergic reactions or allergies are actually increasing globally. And especially some of it, like asthma, for example, not only increasing in numbers, but also increasing in severity. So no, we're not hypochondriacs. It's real.
It is real. And I find towards the end of winter in Johannesburg, when the air is very dry, there's a lot of dust. I don't know if that's hay fever, but I struggle then. I know that after a decent rain, I start to feel a bit easier. Is that common? Is there a reason for that?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. We've got a couple of reasons to explain that. Mm-hmm. First of all, we must remember that allergy is an immune reaction. It's your immune system, let's call it fighting or attacking something that it should be ignoring, like, for example, pollen. But your nose is also affected by the air that we breathe. So there are also irritants that are not necessarily allergies. So things like dry air, for example, that's an irritant of the nose. Ah. A virus in the nose is a serious irritant of the nose. You're not allergic to the virus, but the virus is a serious irritant. And things like dust, for example, and pollution, those are irritants that affect the nose as well. And the symptoms are similar. But if we puristic, then, you know, that's not truly an allergy. Although irritation of the nose, irritants of the nose can potentiate and worsen allergy. That's a possibility.
Are we seeing more kids affected by allergies today than in the past?
Well, it is typically what we see is that children are more affected by allergic diseases, but also adults, not only children. And if you've got a patient who presents at a young age with true severe allergy, like for example severe eczema, and I'm now talking about atopic dermatitis, allergic eczema. They are children that are prone to later in life develop food allergies. Well, not even later. You know, as young children develop food allergies, and then they would progress. They may, use the word outgrow their food allergies. They may progress to become asthmatics and allergic rhinitis, like hay fever, for example. And hay fever is, let me use the word allergic rhinitis, that is the form of allergy that usually persists into adulthood. While children tend to outgrow food allergies and they tend to outgrow asthma even, but allergic rhinitis and hay fever, that's what persists into adulthood.
Mm, mm. Any advice for people? Now we're heading into winter. Is there a way that people, a regime or something that people could do to lessen these symptoms?
Well, first of all, we must decide what type of symptoms do you want to lessen. When we talk about allergic rhinitis, there are two main types symptomatically. We get the blockers. Those are the patients whose noses are blocked, and they usually struggle from thick mucus in their nose, thick secretions in the nose, and they've got a blocked nose. They tend to breathe with an open mouth. They tend to snore more at night, etc. So for the blockers, and if it's an allergic reaction that results in blocking, then you need corticosteroid spray in your nose, a nasal spray that contains a corticosteroid. Hay fever, per se, that's more what we refer to as the runners. They usually have an open nose most of the time. They're not totally blocked, but they've got these bursts, these episodes. It's a sudden onset of severe sneezing and itchy eyes and even teary eyes. They respond better to an antihistamine. And that antihistamine can be administered by drinking it. And when we talk about swallowing an antihistamine, it's important that we understand there are two main types of antihistamines. The sedating ones, they are the cheap older ones. Mm-hmm. They're not good. We shouldn't be using them. They're effective, but they're not good because they cause sedation and we don't want them. So the more modern ones, the non-sedating ones. And then we've also now got antihistamine in combination with corticosteroid nasal sprays that you can spray in your nose. But if sneezing and itching is your main presenting symptom, then an antihistamine is more valuable. If blocking is your main presenting problem, then an intranasal spray that contains a low dose of cortisone. But unfortunately, most of our patients suffer from both. Wow. And therefore, the combination you need both. Yeah.
Sensible advice. That's where we leave it. Professor André van Niekerk, pulmonologist, pediatrician, past chairman of the Allergist Society of South Africa, former founder and member of the Allergy and Clinical Immunology Foundation of South Africa.